for those of you that got the announcement, yes, I went ahead and took this week, so Kenny will start his. See, if I did 3 weeks and he's got about 4 or 5 weeks coming, so he'll start next week. We're going to finish a little bit from last week, and we'll be good. So anyways, where are we going to start this morning? Let's start a little bit of overview. Last week we talked about just ways to grow our faith, ways to live in faith. And I mentioned three things, and I just want to give a quick overview. Number one is that when we increase our faith, we got to get the word. Faith comes by the word and hearing the word. When you hear the word, you get the word in you. The word becomes a part of you, and then it becomes the word that goes through us. In times of struggle, there's nothing greater than being able to know God's word and be able to not only know his word, but have it to combat those lies that we're thinking. Number two is when we live in the spirit, it says, Jude 20, building yourself up in the most holy of faith, pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the spirit. Get it yourself connected to your spirit. So when you are in a place where God's word is coming forth and your spirit is connecting, this is where I love people when they say, we're a spirit-filled, word of faith type church. Yes, we're both. They come together. The word and the spirit come together, and that becomes life to you. And it gives life to every situation you have. When you speak the word of God from your spirit, it changes circle. It changes you. It changes around us. And the last point we meant about growing our faith was out of Hebrews. Where was I last week? Hebrews, here's my notes. Hold on. 4 or 5, something like that. I know it's somewhere in that area. 5, thank you, yeah, 5, thank you, got my notes from last week going, that's great, they're better than I am today. Okay, so yeah, Hebrews 5:11, there it is, and it says, it's okay, we're good. Hey, verse 13, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word and righteous, but strong meat belongs to them that are full of age, even though by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The third way you grow your faith is by use, reason of use. If we want to be mature as believers, we want to be mature in his word, and we want to be one that's eating strong meat, we've got to use the word. You can't just have it in you. You got to use it. It's got to be a part of what you do. You can't just sit on there and go, yeah, I believe it. I believe, and sit back and do nothing. Faith requires us to have action. It's a word, faith without works is dead. So with that being said, I want to live in faith, want to grow in faith, we want to live, but there is an enemy to your faith. And Kenny did a 27-week series last around there. I don't know, it was a long series, but it was an amazing series. So I'm going to do a shameless plug for him. Get on our website. I don't remember the name of the series, but it's about unbelief. And he did a phenomenal, I don't know how many weeks it was. It was really good. It was just 3 weeks, really? It felt like awesome. Yeah, it felt like a lot more. It was so good. I endured. My faith endured. No, but we're talking about unbelief is something that robs us of living in faith. Well, you can have faith. I want to get this clear. This is remember last week we talked about every one of us is given a measure of faith. Everybody has a measure of faith. It's what you do with it. So Jesus even said, how do you have no faith? That was pretty powerful. He told his disciples he had none. Because if you have faith of a mustard seed, you can say the mountain. So remember, faith doesn't require a lot of it. It requires it cannot be mixed with unbelief. So that, Hebrews 4, we're going to go back one chapter. And we're going to start out with chapter 4. I'm going to read you one verse, and then we're going to go back and put all this together. So verse 4, chapter 4, verse 2. And then I'm going to read all of it together, okay? So this is going to give you a summary. Because I know I can't break into context as my brother's here today, and he will just rip me later for that. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as to them. The gospel was preached to everybody, to them and us. Seeing there's two different people, both heard the word. Okay, I'm jumping ahead of us. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith to them that heard it. When we don't apply faith to what we hear, we allow ourselves to be pulled away and we don't mix the word with faith. And the thing is unbelief is a little thing that gets inside of us and robs us of being able to speak and declare and walk in victory. Isn't it sad that when we look into a scripture, one of the messages I preached last week was when the man brought Jesus, when the man came to Jesus and said, heal my son. He goes, Lord, help my unbelief. The man had enough faith to bring his kid to go to Jesus about his son. have enough faith to believe he could be healed, but didn't have enough faith to do it himself. So he said, whatever unbelief is in me there, help my unbelief. I believe there are more Christians that need to pray this prayer, because I don't believe having faith to believe and faith to stand and faith to declare and faith to speak is always the problem. It's the fact there's still a little bit of unbelief. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. We get a little bit of unbelief in there that robs us from the ability to stand when the trial does come. When the temperature goes from here to there and it just gets a little too hot and that unbelief kicks in a little bit more. Or when the symptoms get worse. Or when the checkbook looks worse. Or whenever we're going through something, when the trial starts getting to mass level, the unbelief kicks in a little bit, and that right there, and I love it. Galatians 6, do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you what? You don't faint, if you don't give up. Faith requires you to stand. Faith requires you to consistently stay the fight. And this is where unbelief comes. Your faith might be ready to go and tackle mountains and speak and declare and do all things, but the unbelief that's underneath it, if it's not dealt with and not gone, not dealt with to be gone, it will rob you of being able to walk in the true blessing. So you understand that? Let's go back then. If you're going to understand Hebrews 4, I got to do a long introduction for you now. So we're talking about the children of Israel back then. And remember, children of Israel were supposed to go on this journey that was supposed to take, I've heard, anywhere from 9 to 11 to 13 days. I don't really know, because I've never walked it myself. And I don't plan on doing that walk ever, by the way. But it was supposed to be a long journey to get them out of bondage into freedom, to pass over the River Jordan, and they can become the free people that God called them and give them the promised land they're supposed to be in. However, that journey didn't take days or weeks. It took years. It took 40 years. And that 40 years was there. And it says, and so if you jump into it, the whole chapter 3 starts dealing with Moses and going through this whole story about unbelief. But it's going to tie it up if we would like to. Oh, I don't want to read all of it, but I really do want to read a lot of it. Their hearts got hardened. Remember, they threw the calf, got the golden calf. Remember, the wilderness was not a good time for people who, if you want to look at the quality of people walking in faith. They got the calf, they disobeyed, they had those ground swallowed up people. It wasn't overall a very good couple years, if you want to look back at that. That wouldn't be the history I want to read. But then it says their hearts got hardened, they got weak, and then they jump into it. And I'm going to just go verse 17. Let's just go, verse 11. So I swore to my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Enter my rest. Today I want to finish this entire week of last week and today with talking about how we can live and have rest in our lives. We live in a restless world, a world that has a lot of stuff that comes our way. But no matter what comes our way, today we can walk out of here resting. And that's what I want to end with. So anyways, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Take heed. And they call unbelief evil right here. An evil heart of unbelief. But exhort one another daily while it's called day, lest any of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of the confidence and steadfast to the end. If we hold. While it is said, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved for 40 years? Was it not with them that sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom he swore, they would not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see, summary, that they could not enter the promised land because of their unbelief. Unbelief is a word that when you break it down, I want to share. The word unbelief is two words. It's two Greek. A, pistis, P-I-S-T-S, is the word for faith. The A, it means unbelief means the opposite of. It's antichrist. It's A, and then it talks Christos. It talks about, it's not just against faith. It literally means to put something in place of faith. It means unbelief is a rebellion. It isn't just that you didn't have faith. You chose a different way. They didn't enter in because of their sin. Their sin took them down a path this way when God's plan was to go this way. Unbelief has a choice that leads you to a place of sin. And if you understand today, and I'm going to just be real blunt with you, if we could truly identify unbelief as sin in our lives, maybe we would take care of it a little bit quicker. Unbelief, the word sin means to miss the mark. It means to miss God's plan and purpose. And so when you miss the mark, you don't walk in faith, it's unbelief. And unbelief is how they could not enter into the rest that God promised them. They could not enter the promised land because they chose a different way. And today we're choosing a different way, maybe unconsciously, maybe not knowing it. We're choosing fear. We're choosing worry, anxiety. We're choosing to do it our way. And you're going to find out in just a second, when you do it your way, you will not have rest. When you do it God's way, you can rest that his way and his will be done. And as believers, if we want to live a faith-filled life, a spirit-filled, faith-filled life, we've got to get rid of unbelief in our lives. It will rob you of living the promise that God's promised to give to you. Amen? So with that being said, let's keep reading. It's not just because of chapter break doesn't mean the thought is ending. Verse 4 then, knowing that, or chapter 4, verse 1, knowing that they couldn't enter because of their unbelief, let us therefore fear. Now that's an interesting word. Lest a promise being left of us entering his rest, any of you should come short of it. Now he's transferring it from them to us. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as to them. But the word preached did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith to them that heard it. That's why I started with this verse. The word will go forth. When you put faith in it, it produces promised land. But when you put unbelief in it, it produces failure. The word was preached. By his stripes, I am healed. You believe it? You can mix faith with it or unbelief. I've caused you to prosper. You know, I love 3 John verse 2, beloved, above all else, I wish that you would prosper and be in good health as your soul prospers. If that is a prayer, a cry in the word for us, and that is God's heart for us, shouldn't we believe that today and want to live in that? Do you have faith to believe, or is it going to be unbelief kicking in there? Well, you know, I've tried that tithing thing. I've tried that praying and standing thing. And if that is the reaction you have when someone gives you a concept that's in the word, I'm going to encourage you right now, that is a spirit of unbelief coming against the word of God. Listen, please, if somebody introduces, now if it's not in the word and you have a problem systematically with what's being taught here, then we'll talk maybe one-on-one later. But if the word is presented to you and you don't want to believe it because of your experience, that's unbelief right there. Your experience causes unbelief. Anyone ever prayed? Don't know, I need to show a hand. Anybody ever prayed for sick and they didn't get healed? I've been there. Anyway, prayed for a miracle and didn't happen. And I can go down the list all day long. Anybody been disappointed that something did not happen in your spiritual life? Well, welcome to the club. But don't let that fuel unbelief that God's word failed, because God didn't fail. I don't know why, and I still don't need to know why, because there's so many great teachings on why. Asking why is almost a way to fuel unbelief in your life. God, why didn't that happen? And he's like, and if you knew, like, and I would say, I share this story, and I wouldn't say it out. I won't share all the details. But we had a tragic situation happen over the last few years. Things have happened. And I made a deal with the Lord one day. Lord, I need to know an answer, because there's something in me that's just not stirring. And the Lord spoke to me as clear as day. I asked him what happened regarding a circumstance that I was believing for. And I had a word that I knew was right. And I thought, well, either I was wrong and I missed it, which has happened. I mean, I thought of her. And the Lord said to me as clear as day, you didn't miss it. This is what happened. And he told me exactly what happened. I thought, wow, that's really interesting. Okay, and I've left it to myself. I think maybe Beth knows, but that's about it. Because it wasn't for me to go and explain God to everybody else. Because if I gave you that explanation, it might not even matter to you. You go, well, what about this then? anybody ever got a good explanation about something? And they go, well, wait a minute. Okay, I understand that, but then what about this? You are never going to get filled. You're never going to get filled with enough answers to overcome unbelief. You've got to overcome it today. You've got to choose. You're not going to let unbelief rob you of believing what God's word says about your circumstances, your finances, your health, your spiritual walk, and any circumstance you're going through right now. You got to believe this is God's word, and I will accept nothing less than that. Amen? All right, let's keep reading because we're not done. For we which have believed do enter that rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, they shall enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, he made a way for them. For he spake in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from his works. And in this place, again, if they shall enter my rest, verse 6, and this is, I have this one like with an arrow and a star and highlighted. Seeing therefore it remains that some must enter therein, and they whom it was first preached entered not because of their unbelief. They had the same word. They had the same everything that we have, but they would not believe it. They complained. They had bitter water. The complaining that took place in was they got mad because we got tired of manna. Oh, I'd get tired. You know, 40 years, it wasn't supposed to last 40 years. You weren't supposed to have the same meal for 40. Then he sends quail and they get mad about that. I mean, you couldn't satisfy these people. They were complaining. They were whining. They were murmuring. If you go through it, 1 Corinthians 10 does a great job explaining all the way. Imagine living with these people. We count over 1 million people were in this. I don't know. I'm surprised there wasn't more murder. With all the murmuring, I'm surprised there wasn't a lot more stuff going on. I mean, we have no idea. This was not a pleasant trip. I don't know if I could stand 40 years with the same people. Oh, man. I have a hard enough time getting along with my friends when I'm with them for a couple of days. Imagine 40 years. This has got to be difficult. And their clothes didn't wear out. Their shoes didn't. God was doing miracles for them every day, but they still found a way to complain. And that unbelief got in there always, and it just robbed them of living in the blessing that was rightfully theirs. But most importantly, not just the blessing, it robbed them of the rest. If you would be truthful today, where I want to end in a few minutes is this. Faith ultimately leads you to a place of rest. Resting in God's word. Having peace to know that there's nothing I can do to perform his word. He did all of it. I just have to stand and believe. And I got to get rid of unbelief so it stops robbing me from living in that blessed place he promised me. He's promised every one of you. Every one of you has been promised a place to live in rest in the promised land. Let's keep reading. Verse 7. And again, he limited a certain day, saying, today, after so long, as he said, today, if you'll hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And if Jesus had given them rest, then he would afterward have spoken another day. Verse 9, this is one that you'd like to, if you're like me, I just like to, I like a kid, I like to color in my Bible. I have a star next to this one because this is a promise that I want every one of you to leave with today. There remains, therefore, a rest to the people of God. And how do you live in that rest? First of all, get to it in a second. You get rid of unbelief first, and so you can live in faith. But check out this next part. The proof of rest and the proof of living with no unbelief is verse 10. For he that enters his rest has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Folks, I want to encourage you. There's nothing you can do that'll get God to do something quicker. You can't help God. You know that God helps those that help themselves. Man, I want to throw that out there so bad. Get rid of that. God doesn't help those who help themselves. God comes to those that live in faith. God answers prayer when there's no unbelief. God answers the word when the word is presented and you're not trying to do it. You can't manipulate your life and get it better. There are so many people, and I'm just going to be real blunt. Unbelief, one of the greatest characteristics of unbelief in your life is control. We can't get rid of control. You want to control this. And I'm human, and I'm going to just go ahead and try to stay a little humble this morning. You know, I get the privilege, and I love doing, I've been pastoring this church for 21 years. Love it. But on the side, I also have this little business that we do a lot of a lot of traveling, and right now it seems to be a lot more than expected. This week, thankfully, is only one day, but I get to go all over mainly. I'm learning the streets of Chicago way better than I want to right now, driving around, doing remodels and paint. It's been fun. But I got a crew doing this. We're working on different crews. And the Lord, I was just praying one day because I had a lot of time by myself. And I realized that being in control is a form of unbelief. And as I was preparing for this week, it was kind of funny. I was realizing that I'm still wanting to see myself be on every job. How about you? But if we have three jobs going on, it's hard to be in three places at the same time. But I'm still trying to, and I realized I still need to grow my faith in that area, that unbelief. Is if the Lord put those people in my life to do those things, I have to trust that they'll do those, and I got to stop trying to control it. I thought, man, I hate that. But the Lord was just dealing with me this week for myself that is an area of unbelief in your life. The fact that you feel like you got to be there to run, and I mean, it's quality control. I want to make sure it looks perfect. You know, I want to make sure this company's happy with our work. You know, those are all good things. But if it's too far over here, it's unbelief. And I don't know where that hits for you this morning, but unbelief shows up in your life when you think you have to control things, when you control people, when you control their choices, when you try to control people's emotions by manipulation. It's unbelief, folks. I've been guilty of this in my life so many times where I feel like if I could just get in there and I could just do this, and if I can do this, I can fix it. Anybody besides me, you're looking at me like, oh, no, brother, you're just a weirdo. No, I hope I'm not. If you just give me 5 minutes alone, I'll take care of this thing, man. I can fix it. And yet the Lord says, just back off and wants you to let me fix it. Well, Lord, I could do a pretty good job over here. And we don't seem to agree with that. He's like, I could do a better job. If you let me fix it, it'll be fixed for good. If you fix it, it'll be temporal. You think you could talk your way through it. And in my life, I've tried many times. You know, police officer pulls you over. You try to do your best job. Next time, I'm just going to stop and pray. Lord, please, for a miracle. I realize I've never gotten out of a ticket. She goes and, I don't want to go there. I know, we're not going to go there, are we? The gender issues on this one. Oh, I'm sorry, officer. I didn't have a clue I was going 20 over. Anyways, all right. I'll stop. Get back on point. Unbelief gets in our life. And we think we've got to control things and people around us, and then you get your rest back. Oh, no, it's a temporal rest, because when you walk out of the room, your manipulation, your ways of doing things, you thought worked, but in the back of the mind, do you know how many times I walked out thinking I fixed a circumstance, and about a week later I get a call and say, I thought we talked about that. I go, no, you talked about that. Yeah. Oh, shoot. What? What? We talked. No, you talked, and I said, okay. But I didn't change my mind. I'm like, oh, so I had this false sense of peace, false sense of rest, that somehow this got worked out, when in actuality it did not. Because it was human effort in there. I have learned over the years, truly have, that when I go into a meeting, I'm now more humbled by the fact that I've screwed up more. Excuse me, I can say that today, yeah. I've messed up more thinking I've fixed it than just sitting back and letting God fix it for us. And I found out, in this business right here, this job here, that praying before the meeting is just so different. When you say, Lord, today, I pray for the person I'm meeting with, that you would show up and you would speak clearly, that we would walk out of here and you would have true restoration take place. Every married couple that comes before us, we pray. That, Lord, today we ask, not just from our lack of having we've been married 20 years and we have a lot of experience. Not always the good ones, you know, but we have those ones that they call life lessons that we can teach you through our mistakes. We thought we'd do that for you just to help you in your trials. We live through it just so you don't have to. Not true. We hate it. But we're in a great place today, and hopefully tomorrow too. We'll be in Mexico tomorrow, so we'll be in a great place tomorrow. So we're heading out for a couple days. Those that don't know, we're getting hanging out with some friends, and we're just meeting some friends in Mexico for the week, most of the week. But we love to get away, because it gets, by the way, the reason why we do that is that we have kids that we love, but we'd like to get away from. We have things here that we love, but we like, so us getting our alone time is vital so we stay healthy in our marriage. It's important for us, and that's a priority we take on more than a couple times a year, just so we can get away, because it's healthy for us. And we found over the years it works. But guess what? When we go into those marriage situations, we can't just depend on the fact that all of our experience and all the things that we've been through is going to change them. Only God can do that. Only God can change the hearts of those people that come. So my encouragement for you this morning, and I really want to, I know I'm hammering this a lot. When you, verse 10 is a summary of this. When you get out of control, he gets in it. You know the phrase, and I think I harp on this too often. But if when I hear people say, oh, you know, God's in control, it gets me so angry. No, he's not. You are. You're the one in control. You have the power to give your life to him every day, and then he will take the reins. But, you know, God is not one who's going to supersede your human free will and say, oh, yep, Adam, I'm going to do this for you. Now, there's times where God does things like, wow, that was awesome. But let me listen. God is in control of what you give him. And when we keep holding on to things in our life, you hold on to your marriage, you hold on to your children in fear, or you hold on to relationships in fear, or you hold on to your job in fear. When these things come at you and you're holding on to them, that is control and it's unbelief. And you're not allowing the grace and the miracle working power of God to get involved in your circumstances. When you let the reins loose and when you get out of control, and some of you right now are hearing me going, you are an idiot. Me losing control? Yes. It's a glorious place to be, to not be in control of your life one bit and to let the King of the universe be in control. But you know, it sounds great today because we're at church. But it's really going to be terrible tomorrow when things come at you and you go, well, I can fix this. Stop right there. And just tomorrow, for once, just say, listen, I'm out of control today. Lord, you be in control. I give you the reins today. You fix this kid today. Please, do a miracle. I know I've screwed up for 5 years. Here's your job now. You're like, I can do better in one day than you've done the last five for sure. Let's give these things over to the Lord. Let's give our marriages to the Lord. Let's give our children, our jobs. Let's give everything we have, our finances, and let's do it his way. Because doing it your way doesn't always work. When you're in control of your finances, when you do it his way and you get out of control, now you have faith and no more unbelief mixed in there. A subtle form of unbelief that many of us walk in on a regular basis is trying to control and do things, do our own works, rather than letting him do it for us. You all follow that point? Did I hammer it home? I think I did that long enough. Let's keep going because there's some great news that we have after this. Verse 11, it says, let us labor. Wait a minute, it just says stop working. Let us labor, therefore, to what? Enter his rest. Let us do diligence. Let us do everything we can to rest in him so we stay out of control. The only thing you can labor in is to rest. You know, last night I had a labor to rest. I laid down in my bed and I couldn't fall asleep. I fought it and I finally fell asleep. That's rest. You can fight that. But when you rest, I woke up this morning completely. Once I got there, I didn't have to keep trying to sleep. My body slept. Once I fell asleep, I slept for a good 7 hours. I was pretty happy. I slept. I woke up this morning to the parking lot guy calling me about wanting some salt on the plow. Good morning. Oh, yeah, Jeff. Yes, put some salt on there. And that was my alarm clock. I woke up rested, though. Why? I tried to fall asleep, and I did. When we do this in our faith, you step out in faith, and then you rest and let God do it. You just have to stand on his word and let him do it. Verse 11, let us labor therefore under his rest, lest any man fall in the same example of what? Unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, even dividing asunder the soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and even the discernment of thoughts, the intents of the heart. This is the verse we quote so often here. The word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It penetrates, dividing our thoughts and our intents. Isn't that weird? God's word goes so deep, it can penetrate every part. So when we start getting to our place in our life where we're living in faith, and we're living in its rest, we let his word do the work. Let God's word do the work in your life to change you from the inside. Stop trying to fix yourself from the outside, but let God's word fix you from the inside. His word works. It will change you from the inside out. Verse 13, I love this. those of you think are in this room right now before I read this verse, you know what? What's mine is mine. No one sees it. It's just my little closet I hold my junk in. All right, don't read this verse then. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him that we have to do. One of the things I love is one translation says it this way: everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him we must give an account. Don't be fooled. God sees the fear. He sees the unbelief. He sees the control. And then why do we control? Out of fear. We control out of maybe good intentions. We want to help somebody, but everything we do is seen by God, and he wants you to know, I see it anyways. Give it to me. I see the secrets. Give them to me. I see the private addictions. Give it to me. I see your heart is over here to help somebody, but instead you're just manipulating them. You're just controlling them. Give them to me. I can see it anyways. Let me take care of that person. I'll heal them. I'll set them free. I'll deliver them. I'll do these things. Let me. God wants you to give them things all to him. Give me your finances. Give me your jobs. Give me your marriages and your children. Everything uncovered. I see the fear. I see those things. You think it's because you're saying the right thing. And this is one thing that really bothers me. I'm glad I'm going to get on this before I close. We're a church that believes the power of the life and death rests in the tongue. But I'm also a person who believes there's a lot of people who try to say the right things, but their heart isn't connected to their words. And you got to be careful. Though there is power in the tongue and there's power in the words, but the power that changes you is what comes out of your heart. Remember how faith is found in Romans 10. We preach it all the time, right? Romans 10. With the heart a man believes and the mouth confession is made. How do you receive it? By speaking it. But where do you believe it? In your heart. You've got to believe deep down that God can and will, in fact, do on your part what he said he'd do. When you believe it, you'll speak it and you'll declare it, and then you'll start seeing those mountains and those things in your life move. It's got to come from the heart, and you got to believe it and then declare it. All right, let's keep reading. Let's keep reading. I wasn't going to go here, but I want you to see a progression though. When we get rid of unbelief, we begin to walk in faith. And as we walk in faith, we rest. We finally get to ourselves a place of rest. And once we get to a place of rest, we begin to see God's word now working. And there is something that's even better. Once we get open before God, the next three verses are some of my favorite verses, because once you're open before God, look at what he does on your side now. This is his response to this. Verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, just the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession. Stay firm in our faith. For we do not have a high priest which cannot be touched with the things of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He was tempted with fear. He was tempted with sickness. He was tempted with hunger. He was tempted with women. He was tempted in every single way we were, but he didn't sin. We have a high priest, a great high priest, that walked the walk and showed us the path. So now we know we have a God who can relate to us. And then this is what he says next. We can go to him and receive that same power. Check this out. Let us therefore, as my dad used to always say, what's the therefore? It's therefore because it was tying this whole theme together, and it's going to come together with one final thought. Walk in faith, living in its rest. Once you're living in its rest, you let the word stay active in your life. You hold fast to that profession of faith that you walked in, and you let the word work inside of you and to transform you from the inside out, because our high priest can relate to everything you're doing. You can go to him. You can go to him for anything you need. He's been there. He's done that. And he wrote a whole book on it. Verse 16 then. Let us therefore come boldly with confidence to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace in help in time of need. When you have a need, when you have something that's going on you and you're living in that place of rest, Here's what the enemy does. There's two paths. When you're trying to walk in faith and unbelief kicks in there, it gets you to go this way. It gets you isolated. It gets you alone. And unbelief kicks in there and you try to control things and you try to work it out for your own way and you go down this path and you feel alone and isolated. This path here is you start living in faith and you start getting rid of the unbelief and you let the control go to God and let him start ruling over your circumstances and you let the word work inside of you. You become open and transparent and then you come to the throne rather than being alone. I didn't mean that to rhyme, by the way. That's pretty good. You can write that down. You go to the throne of grace, and when you go to grace, you get mercy immediately. Mercy triumphs over justice. Mercy comes to your behalf and it forgives you. It sets you free. It gives you your peace back. And mercy is the very thing promised when you go to the throne. And it says once you get to the throne and mercy is given, you will find grace there. Grace is the strength and the ability of God to work things out on your behalf, to give you help in time of need. Instead of you getting isolated and alone and trying to fight the battle yourself and controlling people and being miserable to live around, I might add. Don't say amen, anybody that's married to one of them. Oh, yeah. Miserable to live around. They can control. Getting this alone, you're isolated and control. Getting over here, you're getting mercy and grace, and you're getting the ability of God to get through those circumstances, not alone, but with God. And with God, he calls you to grow with others. One of the greatest things that happen, people reach out to us all the time with their texts. And this week, a couple circumstances, Beth will say, hey, I've been praying with so-and-so. And then they show me the text, and so I've been able to pray and agree with her on these circumstances. I love it when you reach out. Because I might not be the greatest texter in the world. And I'm admitting that right up front. And you all know it because of experience in your life. I'm telling you, when I get the text, I told this to Kenny, because Kenny goes, Kendall, I saw her Friday at the office, and she goes, Kenny said, you haven't responded to me lately. I said, and I pulled out my phone. I go, I left my phone at home. I pulled out my phone, and it had like 21 text messages, and it had my little orange circle. You know what that meant? I know he sent me some, I know why he sent them to me, so I didn't need to read them then. But I left it orange because I didn't read him yet. I didn't get back to him yet. I try to do that, and then all of a sudden I get on my phone, and there's like 17 orange things. I'm like, oh, God, I need to really get back to some people. I try. I really do. Texting is so, please, that's just a horrible cry for forgiveness is what that was. But whether you're texting or getting through, it is a privilege and honor that when you reach out and you go to the throne of God, you also go to people who love you, that will pray for you and comfort you and help you and encourage you along the way. This is a way to get you isolated in unbelief and living in a path of no, there's no way out. Over here gets you in a path of finding the grace and the mercy and the rest of God, that when you're going through the trial, you can rest in the middle of it. Wouldn't it be awesome that the next storm that comes our way, that we are in complete rest in God's ability to work on our behalf? Wouldn't it be awesome to know that no matter what comes our way, we have a king that's on the throne. And when we come to the throne, mercy triumphs. Even over your mistakes. Even if you got yourself in the mess, God can get you out of it. I'll never forget, and I've shared this testimony so many times over the years, but I'll say it again. I was going through a rough time, 10, 12 years ago, whatever, it's been a long time ago. And I called my dad. I said, Dad, did you pray? I called Dr. Malone, who's a spiritual mentor to me. I said, I'm just struggling. I know somebody is just talking smack about me, and they're lying about it, and it hurts so bad. And people can believe it. I'm crying. I'm literally breaking my heart. You know what? After I talked to them, my dad prayed, Henry prayed. Henry said, come on out to Texas. I'll spend some time with me, brother. I'm like, no, that's not going to solve the problem. But they were loving on me great. But you know what? That worked. But you know what really worked? Is when I shut the phones off and I got some worship music and I was laying on my bed over there. And I just said, Lord, I need you today. And he says this to me as loud, and I've shared this with this word before many times. He said to me, Adam, just as I shut the mouth of the lion in the lion's den for Daniel, I will shut the mouth of your accusers. Do you know the peace that came over me that day? I began to weep, but this time I wasn't weeping because of fear and worry and anxiety. I was weeping because I have a God who took my battle for me. Because I finally gave to him. I call everybody else to fix it for me. Trust me, I called all the people. I'm calling, help me, help me. And it wasn't until I got before the Lord and said, Lord, you need to intervene. I am struggling here. And it was within days. Repentance took place, the person, everything. And God worked all those things out for good in my life, but I had to learn you go to the throne, not to there. When you go here, this will just bring further problems. When you go to the throne, it enables God's grace to come on your behalf and work it out. And that's what our faith needs to be in right now, is the ability of God working on your behalf. Unbelief will rob you of living that way. Amen? Well, I'm done this morning, and I guess the worship team, I guess I probably should have told you to kind of come up. So if the worship team wants to come on up, you're welcome to. I probably could have told you I was closing like 5 minutes ago and got you ready. But as they're closing, can I just encourage you this week? Don't let unbelief, don't let that evil heart of unbelief get in you, according to Hebrews 3. Don't let that get in there and rob you of the joy and the rest that's yours in Christ. Rob you of the blessing of living in health and peace in the fullness of God. And when you do those things, you'll see the joy of it. Probably should give you like 10 minutes the way you guys are going. More than 60 seconds. More than 60 seconds? You need more than 60 seconds. All right. Amen. Yes, so anyways, the wife and I get to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and get on a flight. So I do thank you that we always appreciate. Our phones will be on, so don't worry. I mean, that's one thing that's nice about Mexico is our phones work there just as well as they do here. But we still talk home plenty. It'll be nice. We'll get away. And I'm not gonna lie, we will be on a beach. About this time tomorrow, we'll be actually on a plane. So, anyways, I appreciate it. We don't just go to rub it in. I'm grateful we can do these things to get away. And that's gonna be a good trip for us. So we'll be back hopefully Friday or Saturday. We'll do it. So as we close, I just want to encourage you. Let's press in. We talk about faith a lot, but if we ever understanding that the unbelief that comes, I know Sue Poe actually, Sue was sharing something this week we had a prayer meeting, and she was there, and she was just sharing. Can you hear me over there with your? Can you hear me at all? You can. She's got her little studio headphones in there, but she was sharing this week too as an encouragement that sometimes it's not the fact that we're not living in faith; it's that unbelief gets it instead. So I would encourage you, let's identify those areas in our life of unbelief and let's dethrone them. So today as we close, the reason I wanted to worship you, if you need to this morning, I said earlier, unbelief is sin. If you want to come to the altar as we close today, I mean, we're really early. If you look at a clock back there, I mean, it's not, look at me, you're like, oh my goodness, I am. I'm not lying. We're really early today. Just spend some time right here just receiving what you need to get rid of the control. Get rid of the unbelief. Stop controlling the people around you. You're miserable and so are they. Let's come before God today. Let's repent. Let's give him those things that you're controlling so tightly. And imagine if you give them to him, how much better they'll be in your life. Let's stand. Father, we ask you today, you'd search our hearts and reveal to us those hidden areas of unbelief that's causing us to lose our rest and our peace. And today we choose to repent. Out loud, I really believe there's power in your word. Out loud today, I just say, I choose, I repent for my unbelief. I repent for not trusting you and trying to control it myself. I repent for holding on to things when I should be letting them go. I repent today for not walking in faith and letting the unbelief control me. If that's you, as we worship, as we close out this morning, I just want to encourage you, let's get rid of all that unbelief. Let's repent of it. Let's get rid of the spirit of unbelief over us, and let's rise up in faith, and let's start conquering those battles that we've been fighting for, and let's start winning them, and go to the throne of grace to get your grace and your mercy that he has promised you today.